This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
We need to get our buzz up, to come back to reality and take care of business on Monday.
We'll see about Terry Rozier there. We needed to get our butts whipped. Isn't that a little presumptuous of him to say that? In other words, shouldn't that sort of be the kind of comment or feeling reserved for really good teams? Where, like, maybe the Warriors need a reality check and they need to get their butts, you know, kicked because they just need to realize that they do have to dig in from time to time and actually play hard to win. But when you're an ascendant team, an underdog team still like the Celtics, should you need any wake-up calls?
No, but you do understand how it's gone for them of late, right?
So you think these guys were reading the press clippings and got overconfident?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. Yeah, because I don't think they're as good as the recent results suggest. And when I say that, I mean they won Game 7 against Milwaukee. They beat Philly in 5. Cleveland shows up. They win those first two. So what's that, 7 out of 8? Like 7 out of 8 in the playoffs? All of a sudden they're that good? Without Kyrie, without Hayward? So a little dose of reality to me is not a bad thing there. I don't think that's a horrible point of view from Rozier. Because, look, they were making it look kind of easy. And they're not that much better than everybody else in the East as constituted. So, like, you know, sometimes you need a good ass kicking. They could use a good ass kicking.
Okay, so that's a drop, in case you can't tell, of Maz saying that early in the regular season. So you actually endorse.
I'm a subscriber to that there are healthy losses, yes. Forgive me, I believe in that. And this was during that stretch where they went 16-2 or whatever the hell they went. And they were getting ready to play Golden State somewhere in there. And I said, yeah, they could use a good ass kick, and this might be a good time.
They could
use a good spanking. So I just happen to think that in this case, there might have been a healthy element to it,
wow.
Yes.
But boy, Terry Rozier certainly has an inflated opinion of himself
and his
team, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, I mean, he's carrying himself like a 4-time champion who, you know, every once in a while it's good to be humbled, you know. Like, no, dude, you're still the underdog. You've always been the underdog. You shouldn't need a wake-up call.
Yeah, they're already preparing his plaque or bust in Springfield, for crying out loud. I told you that comment that he made, was it Philly?
Yeah.
Championship play, with the ball that went off Embiid, right? That he slapped the ball out of there, championship play. You hear that and you can say their heads are starting to get big.
Okay, Brady holding out of camp, Gronkowski out of camp as well, Celtics-Cavs tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, some Red Sox thoughts as well, all of it on a reentry Monday, Vegas Golden Knights as well. Frank in New Jersey, though, on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. Before the season, I thought the Red Sox were a 95-win team, approximately. I'd say now they might be closer to 98-100, which still might not be enough to win the AL East. Probably won't be. It's clear they need a setup, man. I think everyone knows that. But one area of the team where I think a lot of people aren't talking about, if they're talking about it at all, is I think they need a starting pitcher. And I think they specifically need a starting pitcher, not necessarily for now. They have enough for now, but they need another starting pitcher for the stretch run and, even more importantly, getting into the postseason. Because you look at their starting rotation.
Frank, getting into the postseason?
Oh, not getting into it. But for the post, don't be in the postseason.
Exactly.
Once they get in, they need another starting pitcher because they don't have one starting pitcher that's ever had success in the postseason.
Okay.
And I feel to win a championship, you need a guy in there that has the experience and has had the success in the postseason because you know that David Price specifically is not reliable for that.
Okay, so let me just, because I hear this from time to time, and I just so disagree with it. You've got three guys making 20-plus million. You've got three guys who've won Cy Young. Like, what more do you want? So, yes, these guys have not had postseason success. Yep. So, you have these gaping holes in the bullpen or at catcher or, you know, wherever you know. So, you're going to add to a staff that has three Cy Young guys when you've got this massive hole at the end of your bullpen because these guys haven't had postseason success. I think at some point, you've just got to say, this is what we've got and we got to hope it's good enough.
So, I felt that way coming into the year that they've invested too much in the rotation to go out and get another starting pitcher. But I don't rule out being in the market for a starter at midseason, and I'll tell you why.
I think it's a waste.
Okay? But it has nothing to do with October for me, because it has more to do with how David Price pitches. If you get...
So they're giving up the assets to get a number two starter in here?
I don't think they're going to be able to get one, but I think that that might be a greater need come July.
Oh, my God.
So let me explain.
I think that's insane.
So, but the point is this. What if Price is a 4.5 ERA pitcher?
Then that's what it is.
Okay, and I would tell you then you're not going to win. And I would consider, if I were them, I'd consider trying to go get a starter and put Price in the bullpen. And I would try to solve both needs that way.
So someone ahead of Porcello is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you're going out and trading for a legit number two starter, another $20 million a year starter.
Yep.
Okay, it's not going to happen.
Did that hurt Houston last year?
It's not going to happen. Well, they don't have the need. They had the need. They didn't have those guys.
But if Price sucks, if he goes back to sucking and it's numb hands.
Then you've got Sale, Porcello. And you hope someone else
emerges. And that's good enough with this rotation?
It's not good enough.
You can't just keep throwing $20 million arms in your starting rotation.
Okay, but Red Sox, of course they can.
But maybe it's a guy who's not $20 million. Maybe it's someone who's cheaper, who is available and is having a good year because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
I need two bullpen arms before I address the starting pitcher.
Okay, again, maybe one of them's Price. But that, to me, I'm just telling you, I think this is a legit thing to ask depending on how Price pitches. If Price pitches like he did, you know, before his last start... Well, what good is he? He's no good as a starter. He's mediocre. He's a number 4 or 5 starter.
I just think it's unrealistic. They're not going to keep throwing 20, because that's mess. That's what pitchers get. I mean, to get that kind of arm.
But don't focus on the money. I'm telling you, what if it's a younger guy who's going to hit free agency? And I haven't looked. I'm just giving you a profile. I'm not giving you an actual name. What if it's a guy out there who's going to free agency, he's having a good year? And all of a sudden, you can get him for, you know, one prospect.
And if you look at the track record of Dombrowski, of course he would go do that.
Your two best prospects are done. One's a PED guy who's been suspended, the other one threw out his arm.
Okay, so Swihart and a player to be named.
What kind of pitcher are you getting for that?
And I have no idea.
What sort of bucket of crap am I getting for Swihart and a player to be named?
Probably a good bucket of crap.
I'm getting a giant bucket of crap.
But
no.
don't rule out the need for a starter. The problem they're going to encounter is that the Yankees are going to need a starter, and they have more to trade than you.
They need a starter. You need bullpen.
Right, so if you get into a bidding war with New York, you're going to lose it.
Right. Accept it. Get the bullpen arms. And do what you can to make sure your starters grow a pair this year.
The rotation's not as good right now as you think it is.
Tony and Stoneham on something. I'm off base today on something. What is it, Tony?
I got to tell you, I think you're setting your record today. I got 2 points to make. One is on the Celtics, and one is on Brady.
He's got to be quick, Tony.
Okay. On the Celtics, there's one thing with the Celtics. They have their two best players not playing. Take LeBron off of Cleveland. Take Curry and Durant off.
Okay, of course.
Et cetera.
So I don't get it. What's your point?
The Celtics are doing phenomenal with what they have.
Agreed.
Okay, now on Brady. The whole thing with Brady, it isn't Garoppolo. Garoppolo would never start over Brady when Brady was on the team, unless Brady really went into the it went terrible with interceptions and everything. You know what the problem is there? And I'll tell you another thing about Garoppolo. He won 5 games. 3 of them were against teams that were out of the playoffs, and the other 2 were 2 teams in the playoffs that already made it.
You're missing the point, Tony. Bill liked him.
Huh?
Bill liked him.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Garoppolo, with Brady and Gronk right now. They both blame Belichick for losing that Super Bowl, and they are pissed off over that. That's what the problem is right there.
And is that an acceptable reason to start blowing off his camps?
Yes, it is.
It is?
They're supposed to be a team, and everyone playing to win, and Belichick did not play to win that Super Bowl. He played to make a statement with the defensive guy that he didn't play in the game.
Malcolm Butler, I agree with you, Tony. That's what Bill did, and that was the wrong move. But now it's acceptable for players to show their discontent with the coaching decision by skipping camps and skipping practice. That's now an acceptable response. I disagree with that coaching decision, so I'm going to skip practice today.
Right. If they're supposed to be a team, then why wouldn't they still show up and turn the page?
Exactly. If you're a team, you have good days, you have bad days, you rally around each other when someone makes a mistake, and you get them the next time, and you all support each other. So now the coach makes a mistake, and according to you, Brady and Gronk are bailing because of it, and that's okay?
See, Tony and Stoneham and everyone else who's a Brady fan needs to come to the awaken to the reality that Tom Brady actually has vulnerabilities and pressure points like everyone else does, and that Jimmy Garoppolo being held over his head made him a better player.
I think this has very little to do with Butler.
This has to do with Garoppolo.
Very little. It has to do with Brady's discontent with the team, and there's no leverage now against Brady. There's no, and Garoppolo is just a leverage point. you know, Brady's been pissed off with the team before and has been pissed off at things in the last couple of years. But that kid was lurking. He knew the coach liked the kid. And so Brady was not going to let Garoppolo get a toehold. Was not going to let him get a toehold. But now that the threat is gone, Brady can let all of his little things that he's unhappy about fester, and he can show up when he wants to show up. That's just so unseemly.
I mean, look, let's not be stupid. If Garoppolo were here, Brady would be at this workout. He'd be at OTAs. He'd be there.
I still can't believe he's missing. Where is he? I want to know where he is.
He won't give up reps in a preseason game, for crying out loud. He's going to give them up in camp.
Where is he? Is he here? Is he home? He just decided he didn't want to go out to Gillette today? Did he go to Foxborough but just stop off at the TB12 instead of going into the stadium? Did he bring Alex to work in his backyard in Brookline? Like Warren Beatty and Heaven Can Wait? Is he thrown to the butlers? Where is Brady? What is he doing? That's what I want to know. What is he doing? Where is he? He's back from Brazil, apparently, so he's stateside. He's in the East. He's in New York over the weekend. Is he back home, just not going out to the stadium? That's what I want to know. What is superseding going in and putting in a couple hours with his new teammates, with everybody else? Everybody else is down there. Every other quarterback in the league is in camp this week. Where's he? That's what I want to know.
Felger and Mazz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
It's the third phase of the New England Patriots off-season workout program, and Tom Brady is not there, and he's not going to be there, and nobody knows exactly when he will show up in Foxborough again. So it becomes an interesting question. Again, you could miss part of this and it not be a big deal, but Tom Brady has been a regular participant in OTAs in the past. When they've gotten to the third phase, which he himself has said is an important phase, he's been there to go through those drills. He's not there today, so I think that that's going to lend more speculation as to what's going on in Foxborough, why he's staying away. Is he unhappy with the Patriots organization and the Patriot way? Would he rather work with his trainer, Alex Guerrero, and continue on with the TB12 methods that he is known to love and admire so much? But no Tom Brady.
Okay, so Schefter with the Brady story. Carlton in Tampa, what's your take?
Oh, gosh. Today's Felger and Mazz show is like a bunch of blind squirrels desperately searching for acorns of truth about the New England Patriots and all starving to death because of their ineptitude. The only guy at the station who even has a clue is Matt from Framingham with his Palace Q. So let me lay it out for you guys, okay? 3 years ago, Bill throws Tom under the bus for Bill's second major cheating scandal, gets his reputation tarnished, and gets him rung up for a bunch of games. Then last season, Bill tries to get rid of Tom. Effectively, he picked Jimmy Garoppolo, and Tom would have been traded by now had Kraft gone along with signing Jimmy to some big, expensive contract. And then Bill gags up the Super Bowl because of a personal vendetta against probably one of the more well-liked, most competitive guy on the team, and costs everybody a ring. Tom doesn't want Guerrero back. Tom doesn't want a bigger contract. Tom wants Bill gone. He wants McDaniels to be coaching the team. He's had it with Bill. Completely had it. And he's going to tell Bill, go win with Danny Etling, you big cheating toolbox. You know, he wants Kraft to move on from Bill the cheating toolbox.
I see someone's in midseason form.
But you actually agree with that take, don't you, Murray?
I do, yeah. I think this has to all do with Belichick and mostly Alex Guerrero as well. It's the two things, and that Bill doesn't
want... But you think Brady wants Bill gone?
Yep, yeah, I've thought that for a while. I mostly agree with like 95% of what that call
well,
just was.
I mean, the first
is scary, Murray.
I mean, the background is true. Belichick totally threw Deflategate on Brady's lap when you know Bill knew exactly what was going on and was probably complicit in it, but yet Bill threw that totally on Brady's lap. That's true. Bill did want to go forward with Jimmy Garoppolo. We know that. That's true. And Bill blew the Super Bowl. True. So all those things are true.
Yes.
So you can see why Brady's pissed. I get why he's pissed. So for that, you're going to just start skipping? You start putting in less work? I just don't like the response?
No, it undermines the team. As much as he's striking back at Belichick, it undermines the team. If Brady is the competitor he claims to be, if he believes in winning above all else, then he puts this aside and shows up. Like, the idea that he wouldn't, and I'm sorry, like, it's impossible to overlook the Garoppolo link. And when I say the link, the fact that when Garoppolo was there as leverage, Tom showed up. Now that there's no threat of someone taking his job, it's screw you, I'm giving you the finger, and I'll undermine the team? So it was really all just about protecting your job, Tom.
Yeah. So, all right. So what it really sounds like is...
But the rest of it is garbage.
Yeah. So you got... Shame on you both for buying into it. What was essentially marketing and everything he's said in the past. He's a fraud just like the rest of us. He's a human being.
Speak for yourself, Murray.
Yeah, I know. I'm nothing but the highest integrity, Murray.
I'm no fraud, Murray.
So, no, just real quick, with what Carlton just laid out and how you said that's all true, so if Bill's not going to go anywhere, that's obvious, so and Brady still has to deal with a guy that he can't stand, so what he wants here is a new deal, and he wants Alex to be around. That's it. And until they cave on that, he's not going to show up. I think it's pretty clear as day.
I think I would not give him a new deal. When he said he can't, you know, the wife won't let him play beyond 2 years, or that's what he's negotiated to this point. Now, all of a sudden, he's year to year. Now, all of a sudden, he's not even done with this contract, and he's skipping stuff in the offseason for family time. I'm going to extend that guy at 41? No flipping way.
See, I don't think it's a contract, and I'll tell you what, I even wonder if it's really about Guerrero. I mean, it is, but you know what I mean. I think at this stage, it's, Bill, if you're going to make it a joyless experience for me when I have to be there, then I'm only going to show up when I have to be there. You want to keep Guerrero out, keep him out.
I just can't believe Brady's turned into that guy. I'm only going to be there when I have to be. That's what Brady is now? Huh. The guy's been the antithesis of that his entire professional life, collegiate life. It's why he became who he became.
Okay, but this is exactly what he's doing, though.
Now he's that guy. I just show up when I'm told to or when I have to. I only show up when I have to. That's what you've got now at 41 at quarterback. Tough way to live. Sorry, it is. Cam and Taunton, what do you got from us?
Hey, Mike, before I get to that, I want to point out to you, do you know that some of these Bruins beat writers are now trying to claim the Sagan trade wasn't that bad because of how Riley Smith is playing this postseason?
That seems like a story for another day. I was not aware of that.
I saw it on Twitter, this justifies Chiarelli. You know, maybe Chiarelli is not as bad as you thought he were, even though he's, like I said a few weeks ago, currently making himself the worst GM ever out in Edmonton. Maz, you hit the nail on the head a few minutes ago. The American League is at an all-time low. I mean, think about this. It's May 21st. And we pretty much already know who the five playoff teams are going to be. We just don't know who's going to be in the wild card game. Can you ever remember that before?
No, not this bad, Cam. And look, we were just looking it up. Cleveland's in first place right now with a losing record. The Cavs, the Indians are 22-23, and they're a game and a half up on the Twins. Like, now look, there were some teams that are a little surprising that you'd say, ooh, Seattle, for example, 27-19. Okay, not bad. And the A's, 25-22. Who would have guessed? Okay, so there are a couple teams that you'd say are better than you would have anticipated, although Seattle did make some offseason moves, right? D. Gordon, some other things that they did. But really? Is there anyone that doubts that the World Series team coming out of the American League is going to be New York, Houston, Boston, Cleveland, or maybe, who am I leaving out?
You didn't leave anyone
out. Or maybe
out.
The Angels. But I don't think the Angels are going to the World Series. It's really going to be one of those four. That's it. I mean, like, I have a hard time believing anyone else is going to come out of the woodwork and win two playoff rounds to get to the World Series.
Jimmy Stewart, your blame pie for the Celtics game two blowout loss, game three blowout loss Saturday in Cleveland. The biggest slice goes to who?
100% Brad.
Okay, no longer Coach Stevens to Jimmy Stewart. Dakota and Braintree, you want to talk to Jimmy Stewart about that?
I have been one of the biggest Brad supporters since this guy has donned the Celtics whistle, and I will tell you this. I am starting to originally now put back up the truck because what I'm seeing, and if they go down, if the Celtics go down and lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers in this series, it is blame Brad. It is Brad's fault.
Whoa, so wait a minute. Hold on. You're co-signing with Jimmy Stewart.
Not only am I co-signing, I'm on the header with Jimmy Stewart with this, okay?
Wow.
Let me tell you, we all talk about it, and I've talked about this countless times and fought with you guys about this. The key to Brad Stevens is putting his players in the best position to succeed. That's what the argument is for all the Brad bots, correct?
Right.
Do you think he put his players in the best position to succeed in Game 3?
No, I don't.
Okay, Al Horford, who we all know cannot do anything against Tristan Thompson. We knew this going in. Al Horford, useless in Game 3. We all know that Jaylen Brown cannot cover LeBron James. Marcus Morris is here because to cover LeBron James. And what do they do? because of the whole matchup thing that Tyloo did, you don't play defense with Marcus Morris on LeBron James. So how is Brad Stevens putting one of your two biggest important players, Al Horford and Jaylen Brown, in the worst position to succeed? Because Jaylen cannot cover LeBron, two quick fouls, and he's basically taken out of the game. And if he does it again tonight, it is squarely going to be on Brad Stevens.
Oh my God, this is blasphemous. I don't know what to do. I'm short-circuiting. There's a Brad bot over here. So look.
Felgie, I just go by what my eyes tell me, and Saturday night, Brad had a bad night, a really bad night for the Celtics.
There's several things I didn't like either. I mean, again, the fact that Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, and Terry Rozier are shooting, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum aren't, Stevens has got to step in there and make sure that those guys, meaning Brown and Tatum, get their shots. That's on Stevens, too.
How's Jaylen Brown going to shoot if LeBron wants to play defense?
LeBron pantsed him the other night, Tony.
Switch. Get switches. Get pick and rolls. Get screen and rolls, etc.
Yeah, LeBron's a hard guy to switch on.
Okay, but beyond that, so then, I mean, what's the excuse for Jason Tatum? Two shots in the first quarter?
Okay, so Tatum, I'll give you. I'm just telling you, if LeBron wants to play Brown straight up,
fine.
Brown's not going to score.
Then Tatum should have eight shots in that first quarter.
Sure.
It should be going to Tatum. It shouldn't be going to Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris.
I was talking about Brown.
Okay? But on Horford, a guy who's disappeared a lot in his postseason career and disappeared a lot against this Cavaliers team, do I blame Brad Stevens for the fact that Al Horford did not have a shot in the first quarter and had no shots in the second half?
Yes.
I do? I don't blame Horford?
No.
No, you blame both. Yeah, you blame both. I mean, that's one of those things where if a coach sees that they're not getting the ball to the right person, you scream it out or you call a timeout and say, guys, this is what we're not doing. Let's start doing it. Like, that one's not hard. You know, if your offense is going to run through that player and you're not getting them the ball, well, then call timeout or scream at someone or put someone in who will get them the ball. Like, you can go after the coach on that one.
We continue with your thoughts. Celts Cavs tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Brady skipping, holding out, whatever you want to call it. Patriots off-season activities, off-season workouts, which began today. The passing camp, the important passing camps began today. Brady is out along with Gronkowski. Some Red Sox stuff on the board as well. It's a re-entry Monday with you right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Mass bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right back to you as promised. Max in the truck on the Brady situation. Hi, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I'm worried about Brady not showing up to OTAs. I mean, I can't recall the last time he didn't show up to OTAs. And I agree with Jim Murray. He's pissed off at Brady. He wants a new contract. And he's pissed off. He's losing reps, too. I mean, I don't know. And I don't think he's going to show up to training camp now. I mean,
no. So look,
I'm pretty sure he's in New York City right now. To answer your question of where he is.
Okay, so if he's in New York, he could be here.
Exactly right. If he can be in New York, why can't he be here?
I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, like, am I worried about Brady falling off the table? No, but I think a huge part of Brady's story is his work ethic. And the time that he puts in. And he does outwork everybody. And that's why he's Brady, especially at 40. You can't start slacking at 40 and expect to be as good. You got to work even harder the older you get. And he knows that. And I'm not telling you that he's not working. He's obviously doing something. But don't tell me it's the same as working with his teammates. It's not as productive. It's not as good. And so that's just the wrong direction to be going at his age. And it's frustrating to me that he would be doing this after they traded the kid that was ready to take over and lead you for the next 10 years. He waited for Garoppolo to be gone before he started pulling this. And that, to me, is the frustrating part.
See, I just look at it and I say, like, to me, it's indicative of the problem that exists at the core of this whole operation. I mean, for the entire 18 years, coach and quarterback, coach and quarterback, coach and quarterback, right? The marriage of the coach and quarterback. Well, what happens if the marriage is on the rocks? Like, I just look at it and say, there's some vulnerability there now. They're not on the same page anymore.
The thing about missing camp would be, like, that's not just a story. That's That's the whole kit and caboodle. And it, Murray's been saying all day in his updates that it is expected that Gronkowski and Brady will be there for the mandatory camp June 5th to 7th. No crap. They better. I mean, like, that's not even a debate. If they're not there, they are officially holding out. I mean, that's a finable offense by the team. That is, that's Armageddon. That's World War III, baby. Like, that, it's on. If those guys miss that weekend, the 5th through the 7th thing, or whatever that is, if that's a weekend or not, whenever that is, if they miss that, it is on. It is on. That's a holdout.
See, I don't think it's about the contract with Brady. Maybe I'm an idiot. I mean, it's an element in there, but I don't think that's the reason he's not there.
Even still, not just
with Gronk, I believe that's the reason he's not there, because he doesn't have a new deal yet.
Beyond just the optics, it's if you missing this week as the starting quarterback is just bad form, man. It's just bad for business. Bad for business. I don't care if you're in the league 1 year or 18. That is, quarterbacks don't miss this week. Brady never has. No one else is across the league. Dawson in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dawson.
How we doing? I was just looking into the Celtics game, and I was thinking if they lose tonight, it's pretty much over. My good friend Stephen A. said on First Take that the last time LeBron was in a 2-2 series, he's won the last three series in a row.
It's not over.
Okay, so hold on. What's your second point, quickly?
My second point, you said to add another $20 million arm to the Red Sox rotation. I was getting to the point where you said maybe potentially get a catcher. I don't know, like Jonathan Lucroy, Avila, those guys. Maybe that would help the pitching as well, you know what I mean, and for less money, and you could maybe add a reliever too.
I'm just saying, like these folks, I guess Mass is one of them, who wants to add a starting pitcher. When you've got three Cy Young guys, three guys making 20, or no, Sale. So Sale doesn't make 20. I just said three $20 million guys. You know what I mean. Three. You've got three legit guys who combined do make $60 million. Like, what do you just want to keep adding to that when you have no bullpen? And you do have some other holes, catcher I just mentioned. Like, that just doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
Okay, so I'm telling you, though, that you're basing it on the money. I'm basing it on the performance.
No, I'm using the money to signify what you have there at the top of your rotation, which is quality.
Yes. Do you think Rick Porcello's quality come playoff time?
It's the guy that you have. You just can't. So now you're going to remake your whole roster? At some point, you have to go with what you have when you've invested in it. So, if you want to trade Rick Porcello for a proven playoff performer, I'm in. You run that through your trade machine, Murray, and tell me what trade is out there.
What if all these guys,
what are you supposed to do?
Here's what I'm saying. What if all these guys pitch like end of the rotation starters?
I think you're stuck with your rotation is what I'm trying to tell you.
Casey, I don't think you are. Because I think Price gives you the latitude of sticking someone in the bullpen. That's what I think.
I don't think that's happening.
So you're going to rely on Drew Pomeranz in game two?
That's the deal.
Porcello?
That's the team you've built.
No way. Not when you get this much invested in it. No.
Oh, my God. It's just not going to have. They're not going to add another arm like that.
Yeah. So look, I'm telling you, I think it's unlikely. But I'm telling you, they should consider a starter if Price doesn't pitch better.
I'd address so many other things first. So many other things. Is game four the series tonight against Cleveland?
No.
Don't you have to wait for the road team to win before you say that?
Yeah. Like this idea that if they lose it, it's over.
Cleveland has to prove they can win here and vice versa
exactly.
Before he starts saying there's a series.
Like to me, this was what Game 2 told you. So you go back to Game 2, and it feels like the Celtics are running away, and the only takeaway for me on that one was, I don't know if Cleveland can win in this building now. Like, I thought LeBron could come into Boston and win a game in the playoffs. That might not be true because of the collection of absolute ass clowns he has playing with him. Those guys are bums. They are complete, absolute ass clowns, the lot of them. So I don't know if they can win here now. But, you know, does that mean that they absolutely, positively can't? You're telling me the Celtics aren't capable of completely crapping their own pants on the parquet of the TD Garden?
Let's see. It hasn't happened yet.
They're capable of it.
Let's see.
They're
not
capable.
This postseason. They haven't
they
done
are,
it, Maz.
I don't know if they are.
That's why even if the Cavs blew the Celtics out tonight, wire to wire, like Game 3, I'm not going to be all that freaked out about it because they have home court advantage.
See, to me, it's a question of whether someone can come in here and actually withstand a little bit of heat. And again, I thought the Cavs with LeBron would be able
LeBron
to.
LeBron can. The rest of those other geeks can't.
Matt in Grafton on Brady. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. So Garoppolo got traded in Week 8. And Brady's work ethic never changed for the rest of the season.
How do you know?
First in, last out. There was video of it almost every game. And in the AFC Championship, they showed him there freaking 2 hours, 3 hours ahead of everyone else.
No, right. He started showing up the stadium super early. And why was that, Jim Murray?
Why are you always paying so much more attention to the football than your family, Tom? Why? What are you?
I gotta go. Gotta go. They need me early. Alex has to work on my calves.
He wasn't working there, Matt. He just sat there listening to his iPod because he had to get out of the house.
But that's proof that it wasn't just about Garoppolo prodding him. The only way it's about Garoppolo is that that team bill off, and the very next game, Guerrero wasn't there.
Okay, so there's no question he's pissed about Guerrero. There's no question. Brady's been pissed about other things in the past, and he's always shown up. Always. He's never skipped. For that reason, he's always played through it. When it's time to play football, he played football because that's how he's wired. Now, all of a sudden, that wiring's off. See, I just think he's different. To me, he's unrecognizable. This is why I still say he's showing up. He's going to show up. He's going to show up before he has to because he just won't be able to help himself. I can't believe he's changed so much that he could be in town or in the area or in the East and have no other real commitments, and the footballs are out at Gillette, and he's skipping?
Okay, but again, let's say he shows up later.
So I think he's going to show up.
Before the 5th and the 7th.
That's right.
Okay, what difference does it make now? He's never missed this before. Like, I already look at it saying it's bad enough.
It is bad enough.
I don't need any more transgressions. I don't need him to cave now and make me feel better. I look at it now and say, no. This is an issue now. This is a point. Like, this is typically something he attends, and he's given the finger to the coach.
The work ethic thing, caller, starts in the offseason. They're all, it's really regimented in the regular season, even in the playoffs. You can't tell if someone, I mean, you can if someone's really dogging it, but for the most part, that's all set. It's the offseason. Are you here with your teammates every day? Are you getting the parking spot, which we used to celebrate, but now I guess doesn't matter? Are you?
No, it doesn't matter to me anymore because he reached a breaking point with the coach and the dynamic, and I don't blame him for that. And so if this is what he strongly believes in, then fine. I'm not going to get on him because this is his conviction because he wants to prove a point to the coach or the team. He obviously has reached some sort of breaking point there.
Tell you what, I've come to a very simple conclusion. If Garoppolo were still here, or if Belichick weren't, Brady would be there.
Yeah, if Belichick wasn't. Get over the Garoppolo thing. He's gone. God, I hope he sucks next year. Just for spite.
He would be there for McDaniels, because if Josh wanted him there, he would be there. And if Garoppolo were still here to take his job, he'd be there. And no, Murray, I'm not going to stop talking about Garoppolo.
I mean, dude,
you're going to have to get used to it.
You should know that by now, Murray.
Oh, that no, I know that.
It's a lost cause.
Yeah, no, yes. I know.
And it's like the San Francisco 49ers.
He's like Teddy Ruspin. What's that teddy bear? You just pull the string and got Garoppolo.
I'm not sure.
What's the name of that teddy bear? You just say the same thing. You pull the string. You just say keep repeating the same crap.
I love it.
Teddy Ruskin?
Teddy Ruxpin.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. They should have traded Garoppolo. It's never going to end.
It's called talk radio.
Here's a long commercial break segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it looks like Rob Gronkowski is not going to be there for at least the start of it. Now, Rob Gronkowski is eligible for a new contract within the next week or so. And so maybe the Patriots will address that contract. If they do, obviously you then see Gronk. But I think he'd like a new deal. He'd like to have that contract reworked again. It was done a year ago, so they cannot do it again officially till later this week. So without that contract being done, no Brady, no Gronk, and the Patriots begin the offseason program without two of their key high-profile players.
So Gronkowski being out, everyone just seems to think that he's getting a new contract. He'll be here on Thursday. I don't know. Well, let's see that. Yeah. Bill Belichick typically is not the kind of guy that lets you carry on like an idiot in the offseason and then give you a raise for it. That's typically not what they do down there. So let me see how it plays out with Gronkowski as well. Sort of a sidebar to me, though, to Brady. And just to go back a little bit to Garoppolo, Mads, you know that I was willing to accept the team's decision on Garoppolo, even though I would have kept Garoppolo, but that's a hard thing to ask for, given how well Brady's playing and how committed Brady is at 40. So the team wants to go forward with Brady, no problem. Meaning I could understand that and I'll accept that, providing Brady still gives me the same level of commitment that he's given me the last 18 years.
Sure.
So I'll trade 10 years of Garoppolo for the next 3 or 4 of Brady at the same level. That to me is an acceptable trade-off with the same level of commitment. But if I'm not going to get the same commitment from Brady, if he's not going to be here in the offseason, if he's not going to work out with his new teammates, if he's not going to be here when they're installing offense, if he's going to carry on about you got to spend time with your family and now it's year to year, that's not the trade-off I was looking for. If that's what I was going to get, then I keep Garoppolo. And the team deserves a lot of criticism. That should not have been the trade-off. The trade-off is 10 years of Garoppolo for three more all-in, no questions asked years from Tom Brady. And we're not even getting a single offseason of all-in Tom Brady. That's the frustration.
Of course. Listen, so when I say that, it's because Garoppolo's not here. I'm saying that Brady's not holding up his end of the deal because there's no way to leverage him on
it. That's exactly how I feel. He's not holding up his end of the deal.
That's that simple. Kraft made a decision on Brady's behalf. They got rid of Garoppolo. And now all of a sudden, Tom's not going to show up? That's just a weasel move.
Okay, so that, Celtics, some Red Sox stuff. Here's Dale in Maine. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just think that the way you're heading is in the wrong direction. Coming into that Super Bowl, it was like everybody else was playing chess, and Bill was playing. Everybody else was playing checkers. Bill was playing chess, and what he did was right before the start of the game was he moved a very important piece off the table, and kind of put the Patriots in checkmate. And that important piece was Butler, and Bill was pissed because he wanted to plug in Garoppolo to show the world that it was his genius, his coaching, and his system, and he could win the Super Bowl without Brady. So there was no possible way that he was going to let Brady win that Super Bowl. There was no way that he was going to let Brady get that MVP.
He purposely threw it?
So that's why Brady and Gronk and all those other guys are not showing up.
Okay, would you stop? Like, he purposely threw it. There are better ways to do it than sitting Malcolm Butler. They still almost won the thing without Butler. Stop at that. Nonsense. Complete nonsense. I mean, there's nothing else to say other than that's complete nonsense. Bill thought he could win that game on his terms. He was just wrong. Brian and Lynn, go ahead, Brian, on the Celts.
Hey, fellas, just two quick points on the Celtics. I wanted to respond to Jimmy Stewart's take that Game 3 is on Brad Stevens. I mean, back to what Felger had said earlier, the Celtics have been playing on borrowed time pretty much the entire year. They're two games from the finals. They go into the best player in the world, home court, and now we want to put this on Brad Stevens. And the second thing, which kind of plays into it, is, as you guys, I completely agree, even if the Celtics do go out there and lose tonight, I still think that we have a great shot. I mean, we'll have home court. We haven't lost on home court yet, and I saw a stat earlier that said something like, since 1985, the home court has won like 75% of the time.
Oh, it's absurd, Brian, in that league. It's absurd. I hate it. I hate it. I like to think you're winning this because you're a deeper, better team, because you're better coached, because you're smarter. That's why I want you to win. And that's what I'd like to talk about. It's much more interesting as opposed to, oh, we only had home court. What is that? That's a 2-second conversation. That's why you're winning? Because you have home court? Or you're actually better? So I hope it's that other thing. That's why I'm hoping there's a road win so I can at least declare someone having something over the other team other than just the gym you're playing in. God, I hate that. In the league, there's just too much of that in the league. It's like any 12-year-old could analyze a series. Do you have Shaq for me there, Jimmy Stewart? So, here's a TNT breakdown. Here's a TNT breakdown of Cleveland, Boston so far with Shaquille O'Neal.
When you're 9-0 playing well at home, you have the home court advantage. That's why it's called home court advantage. You don't really have to win on the road. I won many series like that where we never won game in a row, but we stayed dominant at home. So as long as they keep being undefeated at home, they can move on to the next round.
And if they do get to the finals, they will not have home court advantage.
Yeah, then they would lose.
Exactly. So, thank you. Okay,
but
done.
I think overall,
done.
It's just the
conversation over. So why are we paying Shaq $2 million to sit on that desk and Kenny Smith, who's excellent, $3 million to sit on that bench? And Shaq, well, how come they're paying those guys millions of dollars to sit there on the bench when any 5-year-old could come and say, well, who's home? Oh, the Celtics are home, then they're going to win. The Cavs are, oh, then they're going to win. And when you get to the finals, the Warriors will have home court, so they'll win. What's the point of any of this? Oh, it drives me. I can't stand that.
But that's that league. I mean, even the year that they won the championship 10 years ago, those first couple of rounds, Celtics don't have home court. They maybe lose to Atlanta. Second round, they maybe lose to Cleveland. That could have been in play. That's an unfortunate part of the NBA.
So the best part about that last series against Philly is that you walked into Philly and you outcoached them and you outsmarted them and you out-toughed them and they crapped their pants. Yes. But you put them in that position and you did it on the road. And that showed me something. That was a big, real win that showed me something. So far, I'd have to say these teams haven't shown me anything. George Hill. Guy gets home and all of a sudden, he's raining in threes when he was afraid to shoot the ball here? He was petrified here?
He took two shots in the first 30 minutes of Game 2. He took seven in the first quarter of Game 3, including six three-pointers, and he made three of them.
Shows me nothing. Shows me absolutely nothing. And I don't want to say the same thing about you.
I think it's also an indictment on the East, I'm telling you. Because the only teams that can win on the road in a big game in that league are good teams, and there aren't that many of them.
Michael Felger, Tony Mazur.